All right, we're going to start here on the top of Vav and Aleph, four lines down. Gemara begins, Tanya, Abba ben Yamin Omer. Now, Abba ben Yamin is already the author of a number of positions that we've seen before. The last one was that Tanya ben Yamin Omer, Shnayim shenichnasu leitpalel. Two people come to daven, and then one of them leaves before the other, leaving the other one in a position where he feels uneasy. Abba ben Yamin now continues and gives us another memra about these mazikim. He says, Imalei. If people had the ability to see all these mazikim, these shedim that are around them, they would not be able to sustain themselves or be able to live with the knowledge of all these mazikim that surround them. Amar Abaye, inhu nefishe minan. Abaye makes a statement that they are in greater in number than us. Bekaimelan, and they surround us, kikas leugia. Like a ditch or a ridge that is around the, whether it's the mound of the patch or the vegetable patch, or as Rashi describes over here, around the trees or the vineyard, when they used to create these hoed circles that come around them, the outer edge was a ditch or a ridge around the outside, and that's what we're discussing over here. The idea means that we're totally encompassed, totally surrounded by them. Amar Ravuna, kochad v'chad minan, alfa mismalei. Each one of us has 1,000 of them on our left side, vivuta mimine, and 10,000 on the right side, and that should ring a bell, and that's what you see in Mesorah Tashas, Pasuk that's Ram Yosheb Beseter Elyon, Po Mitzitcha Elef, uvrava minecha, that when Hashem protects you, 1,000 will fall away from one side, and 10,000 from the other side, and that's the reference to these mazikin. Amarova, when a person comes to the kala, which were the shiurim that were given before the chagim, and there are lots and lots of people there, and you sit, each person sitting in the Beit Midrash has a seat, but yet, despite the fact that they have a seat, they still feel that they're in tight quarters, or that there's no room there. That's because of them. These mazikim are making one feel a little bit claustrophobic in the situation. Hani birke deshilhei, these knees that tire or fatigue, minayu, that comes from them, they wear you down. Hani mani de rabbanon de balu, the clothing of the rabbanon that wear down, could be that they wear down faster than they should, is michufia didhu, is from rubbing up against them. Hani kare de minakfan, and those feet that are knocked or bruised, minayu, come from them. So these mazikin have an influence on us, they have impact on us, and especially since they are so numerous. Manda by the Meid Aluhu, if you want to be able to see them or to know that they're there, Laita Kitma Niala, he should take some ashes, Nadara Puraya, and sprinkle them around his bed, Obitzafran, or in the morning, he'll see Chazabe Kari de Tarnagola, he'll see the footprints of a chicken that is left in this dust. Haiman de boy the mechazinu. If that's not enough and you actually want to see them, leite shilyoto de shunrata uchmato. She bring a placenta from a black female cat. Bat uchmata, the daughter of a black female cat. Buchrata bat buchrata, a firstborn female cat that is the daughter of another firstborn female cat. And you take that placenta, velikle binura, you singe it, roast it in the fire, vishchake, and then you grind it down, velimle eine mine, and then you place it into the eye, vichazidhu, and then you'll be able to see them. Lushadja, and the remainder you should put, begufta de parzola, in a metallic tube, vichatme begushpanka de parzola, and then seal it with a signet or a iron seal, dilma ganve mine, because maybe these mazikim, these Shadim will come and steal it from you. You should close your mouth in order that you should not be damaged by them. Ravibi Barabai Avid Hochi, he used this methodology and was able to see them. Chazob Vidza, he saw them, but he was also damaged. He was hurt by them. Oh, Rabbanon Rachmele, the Rabbanon davened for him, and Vidze, and he was cured. So, I don't have a lot to add over here, just that we spoke before about Kriyat Shema Lamita being a protection for the individual, protecting them from the mazikin. And over here we have a discussion of those mazikin and how many there are and how much we really don't understand that Hashem protects us from. And the idea being that we're not even aware of all the things that Hashem does for us and all the goodness that Hashem does for us in the day because of the number of mazikim that are around us. And if we even made an effort to see it or to understand it, maybe we'd be so overwhelmed by that fact, and that's what the Gemara seems to be indicating over here. All right, Tanya, Abba ben Yamin Omer. Now here's the third memra that we have from Abba ben Yamin. Ein tefillah shel adam nishmat el beit haKnesset. person's tefillah is only heard when he's in the shul. Shnemar lishmo el arina ve'elat tefillah. Here the song and the prayer, ve'makom rina shamtei tefillah, in the place that there is song, that's the where there should be prayer. As Rashi points out, makom rina is ve'beit knesset, she'shamarim ha'tzibur shirot ve'tishpachot b'nimat kol arev. That's the place that the tzibur says praises and song to Hashem in a beautiful voice in a nice way. And therefore, the place of tefillah should be the same place that there is rina, that the song is found. And therefore, there's a benefit or a necessity to daven in the Beit Knesset. Over here, the Rishonim discuss what is this Maila of Beit Knesset. There are those that think the Maila of Beit Knesset is because that's where the minyan is. If you go to the shul, that's where you have a minyan. So the Maila of davening in the shul is that you have a minyan. There are others that say, and this is generally when you get down to the Psak Halacha, it's the majority of all those that are involved in the Rishonim and Achronim, except for the Tur, who doesn't say this. But all others say that there's a Maila in Beit Knesset independent of minyan. That means that if a person has a choice between davening at home or davening in the shul, both be chidut, and they're alone in both instances, better off to go to the shul to daven alone than it is to daven at home alone. Because the shul afford as a makom kedusha, and a makom that's designated for tefillah, has a certain level of kedusha that helps in terms of the acceptance and the quality of the tefillah that the person presents. And that's independent of minyan. So one maila in tefillah would be minyan. The other Maila in Tefillah will be a Beit Knesset. And this has major nafkuminot. This is really the beginning of a sugya that begins here on Vav and Aleph, but shows up again on Zion and then on Tet again. Cumulatively, which points to the fact that there is a benefit, a Maila, an additional quality in one's Tefillah to daven in shul and not outside of the shul. And that's independent of whether there's a minion. Even if you have a minion outside of the shul, even if you have a minion inside the shul, there is a benefit of davening shul. That is lost by people who daven in the minyanim, in whether it's in people's houses, or these breakaway minyanim, so on and so forth. These have problems in terms of not gaining this benefit that is mentioned here in the Gemara of Ein Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmat Ela Bebeit Knesset. And therefore, there is good reason to daven in shul rather than to choose to daven in a minyan that is not found in the shul. Obviously, if there are mitigating factors, like a Beit Avel, a Beit Choleh, that make it necessary for a person to help out and to do a chesed in order to help that person so that they can daven or daven b'minyan, I think then, in that case, they could outweigh this issue of Beit Knesset. But all other things considered, or all things equal, it seems that pretty strong evidence of the fact that a person should daven in a shul over the option of davening outside of the shul. The Gemara continues, Amar Avin of Adam Rabbi Yitzhak Minayin Shekodesh Baruch Hu Matsui Bebeit Knesset. How do you know that Hashem is found in the shul? Shneamer Lukim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel. That God is found standing Ba'adat, in the congregation of God. And where is the Adat Kel? The Adat Kel is found in the shul. And Rashi says that Adat Kel is Eda, which is a minion. Where is the minion usually found? The minion should be found in the shul. And therefore that's where Hashem is also found. And as the Gemara continues, from something that should be familiar to us from the Mishnah and Avot, uminayin lasarash mitpalim shashchina be'inimahem. How we know that when 10 people get together to daven, that the Shechina is present. Shneimer Elokim nitzav ba'adat kel, that God is found amongst the Eda being 10, that we learn in other places from din of minyan. How do we know that 10, it creates a minyan for davar shebekdusha? Learn out of the word Eda, that is found by Adat Korach and by the Meraglim. And just like by the Meraglim, the Eda, the reference is 10 people. So too over here, we're talking about Adat Kel, means in the minyan, Hashem is found. How do we know that not only when it's 10, but even when there's 3 who sit together to adjudicate a case, that the Shechina is with them? The judgment is carried out in the presence of God. And we know the minimum requirement for a Beit Din is 3. And that's how we know that Bekeru Elokim Yishpot here is referencing 3. I mean, I and the Shnayim Sheyoshvim Voskim B'Torah Sheshchina Imahem. How we know the 2 people who are engaged in Torah, the Shechina is with them, Shneamar. Aznid Beru Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'ehu. We have Aznid Beru Yirei Hashem, those that fear Hashem. They are speaking Ish El Re'ehu, one to another. V'yakshev Hashem V'yishma, that Hashem listens to them and He hears them. So Hashem is present to hear this discourse that happens between these 2 individuals. The pasuk continues, "V'yikatev sefer zikaron lefanav liyirei Hashem u'dechoshvei shemo." So what is the meaning of the choshvei shemo here? That Hashem is writing down those that fear Him and those that consider or give chashivut, importance to His name. Amar Rav Ashi, afilu chishev adam lasot mitzvah. Even a person is considering doing a mitzvah, he has the thought to do a mitzvah, v'ne'enas. And for whatever reason, whatever duress causes him not to be able to do that mitzvah, v'lo asa, and he didn't accomplish it, he wasn't successful, male alav ha-katuv kilu asa. But the pasuk says it's as if he did it. So that's what the choshvei shemo, those that thought to do, they will consider as if they have done. How do we know that even an individual who is osik b'torah, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is present with him, shenemar, that any place that my name is mentioned, I will come there and give a bracha. Where's the place that askirat shemi? Shemi is on things like my mitzvot and my words of Torah. So that's the askirat of Hashem. That askirat of Hashem brings Hashem, uverechticha, and I will bless you. And that's in the singular form, showing that even when a single individual is engaged in the word of Hashem, that Hashem is present. So now the Gemara says, well, now that you got to that point, if you know that one person Hashem is present, why do you need to tell me that when there's two people that Hashem is present? It says there's a difference, a qualitative difference between two people learning and one person learning. Trei michtavan milahu, the Sefer HaZichronot, comes to two people, their words are written down in the Sefer HaZichronot Hashem. As we mentioned in the pasuk before that we brought as a proof for two people are learning, it says, but when it's an individual alone, that's not the case. It's not written down, not recorded in the Sefer Zichronot. If you know that two people, the Shekhinah is present, then talata miboy, you have to tell me about three. So the answer is really what Shaul pointed out before, that there's really a little difference there, because there it says, that has to do with adjudication and with the Beit Din. So it's not just any three, but it's the three judges that seems to be what's the indication over there. And that's what the Gemara says, Madutena, Dina, Shalma, Ba'almahu, that I would have thought that the whole point of having a Beit Din is just to keep law and order. It's to keep peace. It's not a religious act. It's simply a civil act of keeping the social contract between people. So therefore, Lo Atzeh Shechina, therefore Hashem would not be present. Kamash Malon, the dina nami hainu Torah, that the adjudication of a din is a part and parcel of a religious act of learning Torah, teaching Torah, and a life of Torah. Again, if I already know by three people that it's true that the Shekhinah is present, then why do I need to know by ten? There's a difference, again, qualitative difference. Asara kidma Shekhinah v'atyo. When it comes to ten, the Shekhinah comes first, and then afterwards the minion shows up. Tlata adiyatve. When it comes to three people, only once they've sat down to the din to adjudicate does Hashem show up. But in the case of Asara, by case of ten, the presence of the Shekhinah already precedes them. And that's based on the difference in the pasuk, which is, the pasuk we brought for the ten was Elokim Nitzav Ba'adat Kel, that Hashem stands awaiting Ba'adat Kel for the congregation together. Whereas by the case of the three, it says Bekerav Elokim Yishpot, that Hashem will be present when they are being shofet. So only once they're adjudicating, once they're present, the three of the Beit Din, then it's Bekerav of Elukim. Then it's in the presence of God. So the difference of whether God precedes the minion getting together or he only comes once the three are present. And that's again the qualitative difference between three and ten. Amar Rav Yavin bar Ado, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Minay Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Miniach Tefillin. How do we know that Hashem puts on tefillin? Shenemar, Nishva Hashem Bimino. Hashem takes a oath with his right hand. Ubizroa Uzo, and the strength of his arm. Bimino. That right hand is Zutorah, Shnemar Mimino, Eshdat Lamo. That's written in Zot Abracha, describing Hashem's appearance at Har Sinai and the giving of the Torah. So over there it describes it, Mimino, from his right, Eshdat Lamo, was given out the fire of Torah to his nation. Ubzro Uzo, and the strength of his arm, Elu Tefillin, how do I know that's Tefillin? Shnemar, Hashem Oz Lamo Yutein. Hashem gave that strength to his nation. That's great, but how does that refer to tefillin? So minayin she tefillin owes haim l'Yisrael. How do we know that that owes that was given to the nation was that of tefillin? Minayin she tefillin owes haim l'Yisrael d'chdiv, because the pasuk says in Dvarim, Re'u kolam ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. All the nations of the world will see the Shem Hashem, that God's name is upon you. Vayaru mimeka, and then they will fear you. V'tanyo, Rabbi Lezer Agadol Omer, Elu tefillin shibirosh. When we say that they'll see the Shem Hashem is written on you, that references the tefillin shorosh. Now how is it, or why is it that the tefillin shorosh are the Shem Hashem? So Tosafot brings one interpretation, which is the fact that if you look at the Shem Hashem that is written on the tefillin, the Shem of Shakai, Shin, the Dalet and the Yud, the Shin and the Dalet are found with the tefillin shorosh, and the Yud is found by the tefillin shel yad, by tefillin shel rosh, you have the shin that is imprinted on the side of the tefillin box. You have the dalet, which is the kesher behind your head. And then you have the yud, which is the kesher yud that's on the tefillin shel yad, that spell out the shem Hashem. So since two out of those three letters are found by the tefillin shel rosh, that is why it's considered to be like shem Hashem is upon you when you wear the tefillin shel rosh. Tosafot does not like this interpretation because of the problem that it includes the ritzuot, the straps. And in many places we know that the straps are not of the same level as the tefillin and do not have the same kedusha or same requirements as tefillin. So how could you say that the Shem Hashem is spelled both with the batim and the ritzuot and the straps? They're not of the same ilk, they're not of the same kedusha. Now, truthfully, many of the Rishonim disagree with Tosafot and say that the Ritzuot have a certain level or high enough level of Kedusha that they have a connection to the Batim, enough of a connection that that spells out the Shem Hashem. But Tosafot rejects it because of that difference and says that can't be it. Ella, the reason is because the Tefillin Shel Rosh are exposed. The Tefillin Shel Rosh are things that are seen by others, are a siman for others. As opposed to the Tefillin Shel Yad, which we darshan the pasuk vayu la'ot al yadcha, is that it should be a sign la'ot lecha velo la'achirim. It should be a sign for you and not for others. And therefore the Tefillin Shel Yad are worn, first of all, in a placement or an area where they're not fully exposed, as opposed to the Tefillin Shel Rosh. But in addition to that, the Tefillin Shel Yad, many people cover over the Tefillin Shel Yad, that the sleeve of their shirt, of their jacket, should cover over the Tefillin Shel Yad so that they are not visible. So the Tefillin Shel Yad are the oat for the individual themselves, whereas the Tefillin Shel Rosh are an oat to the outside. And therefore the Tefillin Shel Rosh are representative of this idea of Shem Hashem being upon the individual. And because of that, the other nations are fearful of us because they know that you have the badge of Hashem upon your head. The Tefillin that Hashem wears, what's written in his Tefillin? We know what's written in our Tefillin. We have the four parshiot that are written in our tefillin, and it's obvious which parshiot we picked. We picked Shema Vayam Shemoa, Kadesh Li Kol B'chor, and Vayak Kivyacha. Why do we pick those four parshiot? Because in those four parshiot, there's the tzivui to wear tefillin. Each one of those parshiot has a tzivui of tefillin, so therefore each one of them makes its way into the tefillin. When it comes to Akash Baruch's tefillin, what are we going to put in there? What are the parshiot that we're going to have in there? So here the Gemara makes the statement, Amalei Umikam Cho Yisrael Goyachad Baretz, that in the tefillin of Hashem it's written, that who is like your nation, Israel, Goyachad Baretz, a unique and singular nation in the land. So Mara says, Umi Mishtavach HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shevchai Yud Yisrael. Does Hashem really take praise and pride in the praise of Bnei Yisrael? Mara says, In Dichtiv. The Pasuk says in Parshat Ki Tavo, Et Hashem He'amart Hayom, Yod Lechad Alukim, Velalechi Bidrachav, V'lishmo Chukav, V'lishmotav, V'lishmotav, V'lishmo Abikolo. You have, where He'amart is somewhat difficult to translate, but we'll use it as distinguished or chosen Hashem to be your God today. And the subsequent pasuk says, "Vashem hemircha hayom lo la'am skula asher diber lach lishmor kol mitzvotav." And mida keneged mida, or quid pro quo, Hashem has chosen you today, or distinguished you today, to be His chosen nation.
Reciprocal. We made Hashem into someone who's unique as the Hashem Echad. And Hashem looks at us, says the goy echad, the am echad, on the other side of that. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, atem asit uni chativa achat, or tziur echad, you made me into a singular unit b'olam, v'ani asetem chativa achat b'olam, and I will do the same for you, and I'll make you singular and unique in the world. Shneamar, umi kamcha Yisrael, goy echad baretz, this pasuk that we quoted before, that's found in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lehem Ravacha brei derovo derovashi, tinach v'chad beita. Fine, that works well. Now you got one parsha. But we know that we have four parshiot in our tefillin. So what are the other three parshiot of Hashem's tefillin? Sharbate mai. What are you going to do with the other three batim that you have to put the parshiot into? So Amalei gives him a list of psukim.
In parshat Etchanan, ki mi goy gadol asher lo elukim krovim elav, kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav. And the subsequent pasuk is, mi goy gadol asher lo chukim ushbatim tzadikim, chol ha-torah hazot asher anochi noten lifnechem hayom. So again, this focus on the uniqueness of Bnei Yisrael.
Kimi goy gadol is one. Umi goy gadol, both found in last week's parsha, description of the uniqueness again of Klal Yisrael and their being at the Mamad Har Sinai. Ashrecha Yisrael, Michamocha, uniqueness or a praise of Bnei Yisrael that comes from Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then the last
pasuk is again in Etchanan in the introduction to Mamad Har Sinai. Hashema am kolukim mitaber mitoch eish kesher shemata ata vayechi. Oh, ani salukim lavo lakach ado goy mikerv goy. Masot, umotot, umaftim, umelchoma v'yad chazakav zeran etviya. Morim gdolim kechol asher asal lachem Hashem lakechem b'mitzrayim leinecha.
Ani salukim. Has there ever been a God who's tried to take a nation, goy mikerev goy? Again, last week's parsha, that Hashem building up to us the uniqueness of what Hashem did in order to make us a nation. So those are the psukim. We have four psukim over here. And then the Gemara says the last one is a titchol yon, chol me'aretz, that make you great or above all the other nations of the world. Where it says, he's got way more batim than we have, because now you just came up with six parshiot that are found in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ella, so you have to say kimi gadol umi goy gadol, the first two, the daimin hadada, since they're similar, b'chad beita, they go into one bait by themselves. Ashrecha Yisrael umi kam choyisrael goy chad baretz, those two, since they are very similar in nature, they also go b'chad beita, they go into one of the batim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, and Yisalukim b'chad beita, then Yisalukim goes into its own section, own bait, titchayon b'chad beita. And Titchayon will be the fourth bayit of the Psukim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'kulu k'tivei b'adrei. And when it comes to Tefillin Shel Yad, it has all four of those parshiot, just like we have in ours, which is a singular bayit that has all four parshiot written in it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the same tefillin that we have, just what's written in our tefillin is our affirmation of the uniqueness and singularity of Hashem. And Hashem's tefillin is written the uniqueness and singularity of Klal Yisrael. There are those both over here, the Mishkanot Yaakov, also in Menachot, attempts to line up the different parshiot of Shema, Vayayim Shema, Kadesh Li, and Vayakav Yecha with these four parshiot that are in Hashem's tefillin to show that there is a thematic connection between the parshiot that we have as well as the parshiot that Hashem has, trying to line them up and give some sort of logical explanation for the choice of those parshiot that are in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Avin Barav, Ado Amar Rav Yitzchak Kol HaRagil, Avod HaBeit Knesset, V'lo Ba, Yom Echad, person who normally finds himself in shul every day, and then doesn't show up one day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashil Bo. Hashem checks in after him, looks after him to see what's going on. Shenemar, Mi Bachem Yirei Hashem, Shomea B'kol Avdo. Amongst you, those that are Yirei Hashem and those that show up all the time, that Hashem's used to seeing and are there on a regular basis, Shomea B'kol Avdo, that does what he's supposed to do, Asher Alach, Hashechim. Now, suddenly he has disappeared, he's gone into the darkness, Vein no galo, and there's no light left for him. Now, Ve'im ledvar mitzvah lach. If he goes for a proper reason, he's not in shul because he had to deal with a mitzvah or some alternative mitzvah that took him away from the ability to be in shul, then no galo, it's still light for him. Ve'im ledvar harishut, if it was a optional item, meaning something that was not obligatory in terms of Torah and mitzvot, but he made a choice to skip shul, because of that alach, ein no galo, then it will no longer be light for him. Because, as Pasuk continues, it says, Yivdach b'shem Hashem, that he should have trusted in the name of Hashem, my taima, what's the reason that Hashem is upset of him if he makes that choice? Mishom, d'havel liftoach b'shem Hashem, lo batach. He should have trusted in Hashem, and he didn't. He made a choice to give up the opportunity of being in the presence of Hashem and to daven properly with the tzibur and the shul. And instead, he makes an option to go take something optional, something of a mundane nature, to invest his time there instead of showing up in shul. Hashem sees that as a slight, and therefore ain't no galo. The other way to explain it is that he should have davened. If he wants to succeed, and he wants whatever he's doing to succeed, then he needs to daven. Just doing it is not sufficient. You need to daven first, and therefore giving up davening was a mistake in order to pursue this item. Now, Amar Rabbi Yochan Meshasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Babi Beknesset, V'lo Matzaba Asara. Hashem, as we said before, is Elohim Nitzav Adat Kel, that when there is a presence of 10 people, Hashem shows up, and we said before that when it's 10, Hashem shows up first. So this is the case, Hashem shows up in the Beit Knesset to the normal time that they're going to daven. V'lo Matzaba Asara, he finds that there aren't 10 people there, Miyad Hu Kois. He gets angry immediately. Shenemar, Madua Bati Venish. How come I showed up and there's no man there? Karati V'yoneh, I called and there's no answer. I mean, that Hashem expects the tzibur to be waiting for him, not that he should be waiting for the tzibur to show up. And therefore, if he shows up and the people aren't there, the minion's not there, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry about the disrespect that is being paid over here by not having the people show up on time to greet the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which is almost a repeat of what happened at Har Sinai through the Midrash, where Bnei Yisrael showed up late for their communion with Hashem. And here in the Mikdash Ma'at, we're trying to rectify that and to do it the right way, so we shouldn't do what was done wrong at Mamad Har Sinai. So Amar Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rabbi Huna, Kol HaKoveh Makom L'Tfilato, any person who sets a specific place for his tefillah, Elokei Avram Bezro, the God of Avram is with him or helps him out. Ukushemate, and when he passes away, Omrim lo, they say about him, or the Girsa of Rush is Omrim alav, they say about him, where they say to him or about him, Ey anav. Wow, this is, we lost this humble person, Ey chassid, we lost this righteous individual, Mitavidav shel Avram Avinu. He's a student of Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu, Menalon Dekava Makom. How do you know that Avram Avinu picked a specific place to daven and he went back to that same place again? Dichtiv says, Ve'eshkem Avram Bapoker, Ela Makom, Asher Amad Sham. Avram returns to the place that he spoke to Hashem prior. He had just spoken to Hashem about saving Sdom ve'Amorah. Then he leaves, and the next morning he goes there to see what has happened, to see what has transpired. He goes back to the Makom Asher Amad Sham, that he goes back to the place that he was originally. So you see that Avram goes back to the same location again. Ve'enem midai le'tfilah. How do you know that when it says that when he stood there, Asher Amad Sham, that was referencing tefilah, Shinemar, ve'amod Pinchas va'yifalel. Pinchas stood up and he davened. So you see that there is some sort of correlation between standing and davening, and therefore the standing over here by Avram Avinu is the same as referencing his place that he prayed. So in the location that he prayed previously, he went back to pray in that same location. What's interesting is if you look in the Prisha on the tour, he actually brings a different pasuk as the source. He brings the source from Breishit Yud Gimel Gimel, and there it talks about when Avram Avinu returns from Mitzrayim, that he went back to the original location where he started from. He goes down all the way to the south, and then on his return going north, he stays in the same places and eventually ends up back at the same location where he started from. So based on that, he says that's what means kol kovei makom letfilato lekavram bezro. In terms of viat makom, again, if our mothers bring down that viat makom doesn't have to be exactly the same location, it has to be within dalad amot of the location. Usually that means even the seat next to it, in front of it, in back of it, usually are within dalad amot. That shouldn't be a problem. It doesn't have to be exactly that seat. The second thing is, what is the maila of kovei makom letfilato? So one, you can look at it in a more general sense, which is kovei makom letfilato means that he goes to shul. And that's what the kviat makom over here is, going to a makom kedusha in order to daven. Or, the other alternative is that when we say kovei makom means that even within the shul, he has a specific location where he davens. And the benefit of that is that a person who returns to the same location again and again, he has a sense of comfort and ease of mind that will allow him to daven without worrying about what's around him, what's happening around him, what he sees, what's there. It's a certain amount of hergel, of routine. If you take out certain decisions and uneasiness, that allow the person to daven in a much more proper way. That's why there is an importance of kviat makom. The other interpretation that's brought is brought by the Tamini Rabbeinu Yonah, who say that kviat makom only applies when you're not in shul. That going to shul is sufficient. That's enough. You don't need kviat makom, because that is kviat makom kedusha. Where do you need kviat makom? When you daven at home. When you daven at home, you have to have a specific location for where you daven in order to assign that place as a makom of tefillah. And so this idea of makom kavua only applies, according to the Ben Rabbi Yonah, in your house, or in a place that is not otherwise a makom kedusha. Since it's not a makom kedusha, you have to create that makom kedusha by assigning a location where you always daven. Whereas when you go to shul, the whole place is a makom kedusha. It's all a place that is appropriate for tefillah, and therefore you don't have to be koveya makom. But many of the Rishonim believe that this is talking about a makom kavua, even in the shul, somehow it enhances the tefillah, whether that's from a physical sense, whether it's from, as Tzvi suggesting now, a psychological sense, that the person then takes responsibility for his tefillah, doesn't say where he sat as the cause for the problem, or whether that's from a spiritual sense, that a person who goes back to the same location, that somehow enhances his tefillah. Again, we'll note, as many have before me, that that cannot be at the expense of others. The person's tefillah is only enhanced to the point that his midot are proper, and if a person does something that undermines someone else or hurts someone else in order to have that makom kavua, then certainly then in Elokei Avraham is not Bezro. And we know Avraham is the Ava Chesed, and so therefore it must be that the Makom Kavua also comes with that Midat HaChesed. And the Midat HaChesed has to take precedence over the issue of Makom Kavua. Alright, next part of the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chalbo, Amar Rav Huna, Ayotzei Mibeit Knesset, Al Yavsiya Psiya Gasa. Person who leaves shul shouldn't walk in a hurried manner from the shul. Amar Rabbi Lo Amram Ela Meipak. That's only when you're leaving shul. Aval the Meyal Mitzvah LeMerhat. When you're going to shul, then it's a mitzvah to run to shul. Shenamar. And the pasuk here is quoted, it's interesting, it's quoted incorrectly. It's v'neida, nir defala data tashem. It's missing the word v'neida, which is the first word in the part of the pasuk. V'neida, nir defala data tashem. That we will know, and we will run to get close and to know or understand Hashem. So you see this idea of being bodif, to run or to exert oneself in order to reach the point of data tashem. So that's why it's appropriate to run to shul. When I saw the Rabbanan that were running to the Shir on Shabbat, Amina kamachal in Rabbanan Shabto, the Rabbanan are being machal on Shabbat, they're running on Shabbat. Well, we know that from the Gemara in Shabbat. The Gemara in Shabbat says, Asur lifsoa psia gasa b'Shabbat. It's Asur to take long strides and to run on Shabbat. So I thought that was Chilul Shabbat, that the person is running on Shabbat. It's incorporated in our Zmirot that we say on Shabbat, Hiluchach tehei benachat. When a person walks on Shabbat, he has to walk in a nice and comfortable stride, a nice and comfortable manner. He shouldn't be running on Shabbat. So I saw these Rabbanan that are running to the Shiur, to hear the Shiur on Shabbat, that they're being Mechanel Shabbat. But then it came in the Shemana Lahad, the Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Shum Ben Levi, but then I heard another Memra, the Olam Yerutz Adam, the Dvar Halacha, that's Girsa that we have here. Other of the Rishonim have a Girsa of the Dvar Mitzvah, Mafilu B'Shabbat. The person always should run to either hear the halacha or to hear do a mitzvah, even on Shabbat, Shinemar, Acharei Hashem Yelchu, Ke Aryeh Yishad, the Chule is important over here, which is that, Acharei Hashem Yelchu, they will go after Hashem, Ke Aryeh Yishad, like the lion that roars, and then the continuation of the pasuk is, Ki Hu Yishad, because when he roars, Ve'yecherdu Banim Miyam, that those children will tremble in the west. So you see that, Acharei Hashem Yelchu, can run after Hashem, Ke Aryeh Yishad, like the lion that roars. And so therefore, ana name rehitna. At that point, I started to run to hear the shiur, because then even on Shabbat, it's appropriate to run to hear the shiur, because acharei Hashem yalchu, that they should run after, or go after Hashem, karei yishad, like the way that the lion roars. When the lion roars, people are trembling, they're moving at a high speed, because they don't want to be caught by the lion. So that sense of fear, but also need to act quickly, is also necessary when it comes to Avodat Hashem. Amar Rav Zeira, Igra de Pirka Riata. So on that context, the reward of the Pirka, Pirka is the shear that's given on Shabbat, is Riata. The running to the shear is the reward for most people. Rashi says that most people are not equipped to either understand the shear, or even if they understand the shear, they're not equipped to remember it for a long duration. And therefore, most of the schar that they take away from the pirko is the fact that they came, that they showed up, they're running to it. And we have now a number of memorot like that. Amar Abaye, Igra de Kala Duchaka. The reward for the kala again are those shirim that are given before the regel, the major shirim like Shabbat HaGadol and the Shabbat Shuva, those types of Shabbatot where the Rav gets up and Doresh Balachot HaChag and all sorts of Agadot in the Chag. Over there, the main reward for that is duchaka, is the feeling or the sense of being in a tight quarters. And we saw that before, that they blamed that on the mazikin that caused that to feel that way. But nevertheless, again, you have the same idea that we have by the pirko, is that everybody who shows up doesn't necessarily gain all that much from it, or doesn't necessarily remember everything that's said. But the fact that they show up and they endure the tightness of quarters, that is the schar that they will get from it. Amarava, igra deshmaita svaro. That the main reward for learning a sugya or learning Torah is the svara. And as Rashi points out, shu yiga v'toreach, that he works hard and toils, umechashev, thinks about it, to havin, to understand, tamosha davar. So to get to the bottom of the item, to go through it in depth and understand it, that is the ikar schar when it comes to shmaita to learning. Amar Rav Papa, igra de bei tamya, shtikuta. So the different girsot here, some of them are igra de bei avel, that it has to do with the house of the Avel, the mourner's house, then the main reward there is silence, or Igra de Beit Hamyo, the silence that is associated with the cemetery, that is the reward for taking care of the mate. So in each of those cases, we know by a Beit Avel, that a person is not allowed to start speaking to the Avel, but rather has allowed the Avel to engage them first. And therefore the reward is sitting silently until the Avel engages you. That's the main reward of the Beit Avel. Or if you say that it's Beit Hamyo, has to do with Tumah, then that's the main schar for dealing with the mate, is that one forfeits the time of learning Torah. He's not allowed to learn Torah around the mate, as we learned already, because of Loig L'Rosh Cherf Ma'aseyu. So suspending his learning of Torah in order to give Kavod HaMate, that is the main schar that a person has, that's silence. Amar Rav Zutra, Igra Tanita Tzidgato. The main reward for a Tanit is the Tzedakah that's given. And over here, Rashi points out that Tzedakah is money that's collected on the fast, that is used to purchase food for the aniyim to break their fast on. So that tzedakah, that chesed, is done for the aniyim, which again is the central role and reason for these taniyot, then that becomes the focal point or the main reward that is granted in terms of tanit, is the tzedakah that emanates from it. Amar Rav Sheshet, Igra de Hespeda, Daluye. The main reward of the Hespeda, the eulogies that are given for the individuals, are the Daluye. Daluye are those that carry it up, the ones that cry and mourn for this individual, crying and screaming out and focusing on the loss that's there as the main reward for the Hespeda in the point of eulogy. And Amar Rav Ashi, Igra de Behilule, Mila. The main reward for Echatno is Mile. Are the words that are spoken. Rashi says, Milei l'sameach ha-chatan bidvarim. It's to say things that make the chatan happy. Making the chatan happy is the main reward that one gets at the beit ha-mishteh, at the wedding. And I always point out here, Rashi makes it clear that it's l'sameach ha-chatan bidvarim. It's to make the chatan happy with what you say. And that means that the person not only with what they say, but also with what they don't say. So it's important to think about what not to say. So it's important to be brief, to carry on. If the chatan is not enjoying it anymore, then it's no longer part of the wedding celebration because a person has overstayed their welcome in terms of speaking. So brevity sometimes is part of the l'sameach chatan bidvarim. Right now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Huna, kol mitpalel achorei beit haknesset nikra rasha. Anyway, who davens behind the beit haknesset is called a rasha. Shneamar, saviv rishaim italachun. The rishaim walk around. They go on the back. Amar Abayelu, Amran el dlo mahadar apel the beit nishta. That's only true. He doesn't turn his face in towards the shul. Aval mahadar apel the beit nishta late non ba. But if he turns his face in towards the shul, that is not a problem. So I'll come back and explain this in 1 second. How gavro the kam matzle achorei beit nishta? Was this individual was davening behind the shul? Velo mahadar apel the beit nishta, and he didn't turn his face towards the shul. Chalaf Aluyahu, Aluyahu passed by him. Chazia. He saw what this individual was doing. Idmilei Kitaya, he showed up to him like an Arab merchant. Amlei Kadu Bar Kayamt, Kameh Marech, you have two powers that you are praying to, that you are indicating here that wherever everybody else is praying to is not what you're praying to. Shalaf Safsarai took out his sword, the Katlan, and he killed him on the spot. So in terms of where this is, turns out to be confusion as well as a Machluk Tabishonim over here. Rashi describes their shuls. If you think about the Bavel, which is what we're talking about here in the Talmud Bavli, in Bavel, their shuls faced not to the east, like our shuls, but rather to the west, because they were east of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore their shuls faced to the west. And so Rashi says that in a description of a shul, kol pitchei beit haknesset hayu b'mizrach, all the openings to their shuls were on the eastern side, because if the tzibur is davening towards the west, you have to open the shul from behind the tzibur. That's one of the halachot to beit haknesset, that the entrance to beit haknesset should be at the back of the tzibur. Me'ein mikdash mishkan p'neim l'marav. Similar to what we had in the mishkan or the mikdash of davening towards the west. Ve'achorehem l'mizrach. And the back of the shul is on the eastern side. V'amitpalel achorei beit ha'knesset. Ve'ne machsir panav l'beit ha'knesset. Ne'erke kofer v'mish ha'tzibur mitpalelin l'fanav. So if a person who stands, according to Rashi, which is the achorei beit ha'knesset, is the entrance to the beit ha'knesset on the eastern side, if you stand on that side and face the opposite way, that is problematic because it looks like you're not davening to the same God that the tzibur is davening. In the previous amud and Vavod Aleph, there's a Tosafot there that describes Shitat Rashi. That Shita that he describes in the Tosafot is not similar to what we have in our Rashi. Rashi Api Tosafot says that the person's actually standing on the western side and he's standing on the side where the Aron is. And instead of facing in towards the shul where the Aron is on the western side, he faces in the same direction as the rest of the tzibur, but he's just got his back towards the Aron of the Shul. Tosafot obviously rejects that understanding of Rashi, and then gives explanation which is similar to what we have in our Rashi over here, which is that on the eastern side is the doorway, and the person standing in that doorway facing the opposite way of the Tzibur. And now the Gemara continues to darshan that Pasuk. What is the continuation of that Pasuk that we brought before? Saviv Rishayim Italachun, it says, Kirum Zulut livnei adam. They are like exalted vileness for people. Samlei elu dvarim shomdim b'mosha l'olam. Kirum, they're saying like to roam up above that which is in the heights of the world. Livnei adam is mizalzim behen, and that's a play on the word zulut, which means people are mizalzel them, they denigrate them. Some of the Rishonim point out over here that when the Gemara said before that there are certain items that are omdim b'mosha l'olam, and livnei adam is mizalzim behen, that might be in contextually here referencing tefillah. There's certain things, tefillah, which are so important and so paramount, and yet the conduct of individuals in the face of tefillah is one of zilzul. They don't take it seriously, and they don't act with the appropriate reverence for tefillah that should match the tremendous opportunity and kedusha that is associated with tefillah. The other possibility is that the pasuk with the interpretation prophesies that when a person then needs to rely on others, that he's not self-sufficient anymore, then his face changes a color to be like a krum. Shneamar, krum zulut lebnei adam. The pasuk that we just said before, my krum. What is this krum? Ki atar avdim amar uf echad yesh bekrachei hayam. There's one bird that is out in the islands of the ocean. Krum shemo. Kevish chama zorechat. And when the sun rises, or kesheshemesh chama zorechat alav, mitapech lekamagvanim, it starts changing colors. It's chameleon-like. The bird changes colors with the sunshine. And so, the same thing over here, when we're talking about the individual, when he has to rely on others, is not self-sufficient, his face changes many colors out of the embarrassment of needing to go to another person or individual to help him to survive. So, v'ami v'vasi ander v'ayu kilo nidon b'shnei dinim. That person who has to rely on others, it's as if he went through two punishments, esh umayim, fire and water, shneamar, rakavta enosh l'roshenu banu be'eshu b'mayim. It's as if we went through fire and water. When people oppress us, come to collect from us, to take from us, because we're under their dominion. And that is referencing the need for someone to look to another human being for their sustenance.
Person should always be careful to daven mincha or have concentration when he davens mincha. That's the time that Eliyahu Navi, when he was on Har Carmel and he was fighting with the Navi Abao, that's when Hashem answered him. When it came around to mincha time, Eliyahu Navi goes, "Vayomer, aneini Hashem, aneini, Hashem, answer me." What does it mean twice? Aneini, answer me. Aneini, shetereid Hashem in Hashem. Number one, answer me and have a fire come down from heaven to consume the korbanot. And number two is vaneini shelo yomru ma'asek shafim heim. Also, help me or respond to me that people won't say that that was sorcery or witchcraft. Rav Yochanan amar b'tfilat arvit. Not only by mincha should a person be careful, but also in ma'ariv. Shneamar tikon tfilati ketoret lefanecha. So therefore you see that the tefillah is compared to like the gift of the evening time. That's talking about the tefillah of Arvit. Nachman Yitzchak amar, af tefillat shacharit, shenemar Hashem boker tishma kuli, boker erach lecha v'etzapeh. In the morning, Hashem will hear my voice, and I will lay out my needs before him. So you see that there's tefillah that is associated with shacharit, where Hashem listens and pays attention. Any person who attends a wedding is not mesamech the chatan, is in violation of these five sounds or kolot. Shneamar kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala, kol omrim udu et Hashem tzvakot. The word kol is used five times in the pasuk. V'im mesamcho, if he does do that, if he does make the chatan happy, Ma scharo, what's the reward? Amar Yishu ben Levi, zocheh le Torah, shnina v'chamisha kolot. He zocheh to success in Torah, which was also given with five kolot. Shneamar, v'hi b'yom ha'shlishi, v'yo d'boker, v'hi kolot u'brakim, v'anan kaved al ahar, v'kol ha'shofar, v'hi kol ha'shofar, v'elukim yanenu b'kol. So you see the word kol here is also used five times. When it says, ini, is that really true? V'aktiv, chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot. Otan, kolot, k'dekod ha'matan toravu. So yes, you're right. That chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, that kolot is an extra word kol. But nevertheless, it doesn't count here because those kolot are referencing the prior to Matan Torah, the Mamad itself, but not the Matan Torah. Rebel Amar Kilu Ikriv Torah, it's as if he brought a Thanksgiving offering, Shneamar, Mivim Toda Beit Hashem. They bring the Thanksgiving offering to the Beit Hashem.
Which is the introduction to the pasuk that we had before of Kol Sason, Kol Chatan, Kol Kala.
Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Amar Kilu Bana Achat Michuvot Yerushalayim. It's as if he rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. Shenemar, Kishivet Shvut Haaretz Karishona Amar Hashem. That it will return the land to its original state. And that is in the context or in the same area as the psukim that we mentioned before about the Chatan and Kala. Ramar Chelbo Amar Avuna, Kol Adam Sheishbo Yirat Shamayim, Devarav Nishmayim. Anybody who has fear of heaven, his words are taken seriously and heard. Shenemar, Sov Devar, Hakol Nishma, Et Elokim Yirei, Mai Kizeh Kol Adam. What does it mean that that's all the individual? Amar Lazer, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kol Olam Kolol Nivrael B'Shvil Zeh. The whole world is only created for those that are fearful of Hashem. Rabbi Ava Bar Chana Amar, Shakol Zeh Keneged Kol Olam Kolol. This individual
is on an equal status like the entire world. That the world was only created to take care of this individual. Anybody you know usually greets you and gives you a greeting of shalom, you should jump the gun and make sure that you give it to him first, that you should greet him first. Shenemar, bakesh shalom v'radfeyu. You should ask for peace, v'radfeyu, and chase after it. V'im natan lo, v'lechzir, nikra gazlan. And if a person gives a greeting and you do not respond to that greeting, you are called a thief. Shenemar, v'atem bi'artem akerem, gizalat ani b'vatechem. As you who destroyed the vineyards are holding within your houses the theft of those that were less fortunate, those that are poor. As Rashi says, Halav gazlat ashir gzilahi. If you steal from a rich person, it's called stealing. So why did Pasuk only mention gzilat ani? Gzilat ani she'en lo klum. You're stealing from an ani who has nothing. The only thing you can steal from him is his self-respect, his ability to greet you and to receive a greeting back in turn. The fact that you don't greet him in return is the stealing from a poor person. Okay, we'll stop over here.